Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, as we humble our hearts before your throne of grace on this your holy Sabbath day, we come before you, Father, seeking your peace, seeking, Father, your truth, and seeking, Father, your word that will guide us, that will teach us, that will show us the things, Father, that we must do to be a part of your kingdom, which is soon to come upon this earth. Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, for the blessings from on high, for the sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave us an example of how we should walk. Help us, Father, to be forgiving. Help us to be loving. And help us to be more like Yahshua, to have compassion on one another. Truly, Father, we know that we cannot be your people if we hold grudges. We cannot be like Yahshua if we are not forgiven, because you are not going to forgive us if we won't forgive others. Mm-hmm. So help us, Father, to have that spirit upon us of love and compassion, as Yahshua the Messiah had for the people. And he died for each and every one of us, Father. None of us are any better than any other. Yahshua died for us all. So help us, Father, to accept that great sacrifice by being sin free, by being like Yahshua, by walking in his footsteps. So lift us up, Father, and help us to show that love that Yahshua showed to our neighbors, even to our enemies. Again, Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Open our hearts and minds that we might receive the implanted word that you've prepared for us this day. And it's in Yahshua's name we pray, asking all these things. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, as I said, while we would be going around, there was going to be a series of messages preached on 144,000. And this one is entitled The Characteristics of the 144,000. Characteristics of the 144,000. The term, the definition of characteristics means pertaining to or constituting or indicating the character or peculiar quality of a person or thing, typical or distinctive. The second definition is a distinguishing feature or quality. Example, generosity is his chief characteristic. For our first scripture, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 14. It's Revelation 14, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 5. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song except the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. These are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits to Yahweh and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie, and they are without blemish. They are without blemish. So that indicates that these are perfect individuals. And we know that Yahweh told us in Matthew 5:48, to be therefore be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So that's something we strive to do, to be perfect, to keep Yahweh's commandments. And that's what we have to do to be perfect. We have to keep his commandments. All of us are sinners, brother. The scriptures teach us that. But the difference is that we can be repentant sinners. The righteous man falls 7 times and rises yet again. So therefore we know that there are no perfect people according to the word, but those that are keeping the covenant. And Yahweh would call those people perfect, as with Job. Revelation chapter 7, we'll look at there verses 1 to 4. It's Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 to 4. And I saw 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth, and on the sea, and upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a great voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not hurt the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Elohim on their forehead." And I heard the number of them that were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. So these are sealed out of every tribe of the children of Israel. The 144,000 think in spiritual terms. And most people of the world think in carnal or worldly terms. What we live for determines what we see in life and gives clear focus to our inner vision. The 144,000 treasure the spiritual over the carnal, which makes their vision pure. True worship comes from the heart. It is a deep relationship with Yahweh. And it brings joy and peace and love to people, not fear and guilt and meanness. Most religious institutions require their membership to follow religious dictates and practices that are ritual and meaningless. Turn with me to John chapter 4. We look at verses 19 to 26. John 4. This is Joshua speaking to the Samaritan woman. The woman says to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Joshua says to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from Yahudim, the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such does the Father seek to be his worshipers." He wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the 144,000 are going to do just that. Yahweh is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman says to him, "I know that the Messiah comes, he that is called the Messiah, the Anointed. When he has come, he will declare to us all things." Joshua says to her, "I that speak to you am he." Joshua is not going to come to each of us individually and say, "I am he." We have to choose to follow Joshua based on the writings, based on that which was given to us, handed down by our fathers, the word of Yahweh. We have to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. turn over to John chapter 12. John 12. And we'll look at verse 36. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things spoke Yahshua, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Yahweh, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? Now that term, arm of Yahweh, is referring to Yahshua, the Messiah. It's from Isaiah 53. For this cause, they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah because he saw the glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on him. Talking about the leaders of Israel, it says many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that is of men more than the glory that is of Yahweh. The difference is 144,000 believe on Yahweh, and they believe on Yahshua the Messiah. And they are not going to put the glory of men over the glory of Yahweh, because they love Almighty Yahweh. We're looking at the characteristics of the 144,000. John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. John 10, 12 and 13. The thief comes not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. The 144,000 will not go away when things get rough like the hireling. They're going to use their gifts to help others. What makes them so special? The 144,000 can do for others without the hope of gain. They give of themselves, just like Yahshua did. The 144,000 are spiritual people, not carnal. They lift each other up in prayer. Let's look at some of their characteristics. Same passage, John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. That's John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. To him, the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has put forth all his own, he goes there before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So that's one of the characteristics of the 144,000. They are attentive to Yahshua's voice. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of Elohim without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. As Joshua said earlier, we have to be lights to the world. We have to be good examples. Holding forth the word of life for my exaltation in the day of the Messiah, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Brethren, the 144,000 are blameless and harmless. They're walking in the example of Joshua. Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 35, we'll read from 35 to 40. It says, let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning, and be you yourselves like to men looking for their master, when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he comes and knocks, they may straightway open to him. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if in the third, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have left his house to be broken through. Be you also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. So the 144,000 are watchful, brethren. They're watching. They're preparing for the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verses 12. They're sincere. 144,000 are sincere. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for our glorying is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and sincerity of Elohim, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of Yahweh, we behaved ourselves in the world, and more abundantly toward you. For we write no other things to you than what you read or even acknowledge, and I hope that you will acknowledge to the end, as you also did acknowledge us in part, that we are your glory, even as you also are ours, in the day of our sovereign Yahshua. In chapter 2, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. For we are not as the many corrupting the word of Yahweh, but as of sincerity, but as of Yahweh in the sight of Elohim speak we in the Messiah. So the 144,000 are sincere. They're sincere because they love the word of Yahweh. And they love Yahshua's appearance. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Verse 19. 144,000 are obedient. It says, for your obedience has come abroad to all men. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you walk wise to that which is good, and simple to that which is evil. And in 1 Peter 1:14, also a passage on obedience. 1 Peter 1:14. It starting in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, be sober and set your hope perfectly on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah, as children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all manner of living, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." And that's another thing that the 144,000 are. They are holy. And you can find that in several passages. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. 144,000 are righteous. Verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." When is this going to happen, brethren? "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be carried in the arms. Then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover you. The dromedary of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall proclaim like the praises of Yahweh." All the earth, they're going to be proclaiming the praises of Yahweh. "All the flocks of Kedah shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their window? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of Yahweh Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. And foreigners shall build your walls, and their kings shall minister to you, for in my wrath I struck you, but in my favor have I had mercy upon you. Your gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nation, and their kings led captive. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yet those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the fir tree, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of them that afflicted you shall come bending to you. And all they that despise you shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." Too many people don't believe that we have to become spiritual Israel. They believe that they can do whatever and they're going to be saved. And that's not consistent with the word of Yahweh. That's not consistent with the Bible. In verse 15 it says, "Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no man passed through you, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy of my generation. You shall also suck the milk of the nation, and shall suck the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For bronze I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood bronze, and for stones iron. I will also make your officers peace, and your exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, desolation nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but Yahweh will be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Your people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The little one shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yahweh, will hasten it to time. And brethren, when will these things come to pass? They're going to come to pass during that thousand-year millennium, during the time when the 144,000 are ruling. See? Look at the passage. Yahweh is going to be the sun. He's going to be the light. There's going to be no need for the sun. No destruction in his holy land, in Jerusalem. In verse 8, it says, who are these that fly as a cloud? They're going to be the 144,000 of them. The characteristics of Yahweh is 144,000. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. And we know the term Zechariah means remembered of Yahweh, of the course of Abijah. And he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And verse 6, it says, and they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of Yahweh, blameless. They would qualify to be a part of the 144,000 based on that passage because they were blameless. They walked in the law of Yahweh. They were righteous. They kept his commandments. And that's what we have to do, brethren, if we are going to be the 144,000. We have to be a righteous people. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19. We'll read down to verse 21. Because the 144,000 are lowly and prudent. It says, better it is to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the plunder with the proud. He that gives heed to the word shall find good, and whoever trusts in Yahweh, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Now these 144,000 are lowly and prudent, brethren. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. We'll start in verse 11. 144,000 are taught of Yahweh, and they're thankful. O you afflicted, tossed and with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in fair colors, and lay your foundations with sapphire. And I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of carbuncles and all your border of precious stones. And all your children shall be taught of Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of your children. And righteousness shall you be established, and you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they may gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall because of you. So Yahweh is going to protect his people. He's going to look out for them. They are taught of Yahweh. They study his word so that they will know what's required of them. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2, 27 And as for you, the anointing that you received of him remains in you. And you need not that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you remain in him. And now, little children, remain in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that does righteousness is begotten of him. So not only are we taught of Yahweh as the 144,000, we're also going to be righteous because we are going to be walking in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. Matthew chapter 5. These are the characteristics of the 144,000. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. The 144,000 are going to see Yahweh because they are pure in heart. 1 John 3, 3. For everyone that has this hope set on him purifies himself, even as he is pure, because they want to see Yahweh. They want to be a part of his kingdom, which is soon coming to this earth. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 says, for the grace of Yahweh has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying lawlessness and worldly lust, we were going to deny that which is carnal. We should live soberly and righteously and holy in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great Elohim and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin, and purify to himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. The 144,000 are zealous of good works, brethren. That's what they're concentrating on. They're not seeking to do the things of this world, they're seeking to do that which is of Yahweh. Back to Isaiah. Isaiah 65. Verse 8, it says, in this manner, says Yahweh, as the new wine is found in the cluster, And one says, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. And we know Jacob is synonymous with Israel. And out of Judah as inheritor of my mountain. And my chosen shall inherit it. And my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks. And the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in. For my people that have sought me. But you that forsake Yahweh. See, we can't walk away. The characteristics of the Yahweh's 144,000 are those that cling to Yahshua. They follow Yahshua and everything that he does. Even his death. A lot of his people are going to give their lives for their faith. It says in verse 11, but you that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune. And another term for fortune is God. And that fill up mingled wine to destiny, to money. They worship this pagan mighty one for money. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in my eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. And those aren't going to be the 144,000 that went in that direction. The characteristics of the 144,000 are those that are humble, prudent, lowly, righteous, pure in heart, zealous of good works. And there are many others. I just took a few because I didn't want this to go so very long because we got a long series. So I'm going to bring out a lot more later. In verse 13 it says, therefore thus says Yahweh, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall wail for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse to my chosen. And the sovereign Yahweh will kill you, and will call his servant by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Elohim of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the Elohim of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from my eyes. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. And there shall be no more an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. So when is this happening, bro? This is only happening during the 1,000-year millennium. Okay? And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people. And we know that an olive tree can live 1,000 years in the Holy Land. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth calamity. For they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, says Yahweh. We know the nature of the animals are not there yet. They cannot coexist. The wolf will eat the lamb if they are together. But this is during the thousand-year millennium. This is a time when there's peace on the earth. Zechariah chapter 14. See, we have to change our nature. And the way we change our nature as the 144,000 is through Yahweh's Holy Spirit. Yahweh's Spirit, when it dominates your life, it causes you to be like Yahshua. It causes you to love your neighbor. It causes you not to have ill feelings for one another. It causes you to do that which is right in the sight of Almighty Yahweh. And it says in Zechariah 14:16, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, the family reunion of Yahweh's people. And it shall be that whoever of all the families of the earth, and this is what you have to understand, brethren, we have to be a family. We have to be a family of Yahweh's people. Because that's what Yahweh's looking for. It says that whoever of all the families of the earth that goes not up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, upon them there shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt goes not up and comes not, neither shall it be upon them. And there shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that go not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holy to Yahweh, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holy to Yahweh of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and boil in it. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanites in the house of Yahweh of hosts. That term Canaanite is a merchant. Remember Yahshua, when he cleansed the temple, he cast out the merchant and the money changers. Revelation chapter 17. Actually, we're going to look at verse 14b. That's Revelation 17:14b. And it says, and they shall also overcome that are with him. We're talking about with Yahshua. Called and chosen and faithful. The 144,000 are going to be called and chosen and faithful. They're going to overcome this world, because they have the characteristics of Yahshua. The 144,000 are spiritual people. They're not carnal. They're seeking to do that which is right in Almighty Yahweh's eyes at all times. They think in spiritual terms, as most people think in carnal terms, because they're thinking about things of this world. And 144,000 will be thinking of things of the world to come. They have a clear focus and an inner vision of what Yahweh wants for his people. The 144,000 treasure the spiritual over the carnal, which makes their vision pure. And true worship comes from the heart. It is a deep relationship with Yahweh and it brings joy and peace and love to all people. And that's what we need if we're going to be 144,000. We have to have these characteristics in our lives. We have to overcome the carnal and this sinful world. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you seek to employ the characteristics of the 144,000 in your life, as you try to prepare for the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Ed Yatsko if he would come forth and close with a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Most merciful Heavenly Father, Yahweh Elohim, once again we come before you with thanksgiving, with appreciation, and with gratitude. We come before your throne to receive mercy, that we may find grace to help in time of need. Once again, Father Yahweh, we thank you for the spoken word that we have heard this morning. Yes, we thank you for this truth, for we know that the truth will make us free. And merciful Father, once again, we are thankful for each and every day you give us. For we know that you make each and every day for us so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your written word, and we thank you for your living word. And merciful Father, we thank you for all you've done. We thank you for the blessings yet to come. And we thank you for the precious gift of Yahshua, the only begotten Son, the precious Lamb of Yah that takes away the sin of the world. And it is in the name of Yahshua, the Messiah, that we pray. And we say, Amen, Hallelujah.